Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Today, we're going to be sharing with you our top 10 lessons learned from doing 28 days of self-love.
So recently, we ran a 28-day campaign, which was all about getting people to do one loving thing for themselves each day to really start practicing that habit of daily self-love. And the first biggest lesson for me, which was actually something that I wasn't really expecting, was that by focusing on really practicing to love myself and bring that into a focus every day, was actually what it highlighted was all the ways that I wasn't loving myself. And I don't know if this was just everyone experienced this or if it was really just me. But I found that was actually the stuff that rose to the surface kind of around about week two. So at first it was all exciting. I was like, yeah, oh my God, this is going to be great. What's difficult about doing a loving thing for myself each day? I had my lovely list I could choose from. But come week two, I found myself, I was going through the motions. I was still doing these lovely daily acts of love. But I wasn't feeling full of love and I wasn't feeling pampered. I wasn't feeling special or valued. I was just actually feeling kind of funky and grumpy and starting to feel like it's not good enough. And that was where I then started to realise, hold on a second, this is shining a light on the ways I'm not loving myself, which actually was just as valuable as developing a sort of daily habit of doing lovely things for myself.
And something that I found that really helps with that is honouring your feelings. So whatever comes up for you, whether it's good or bad, it's about really being honest and really letting yourself feel the shitty stuff. Because there is an expectation that self-love is all about being positive and being fluffy and being pink and being cutesy. And it really isn't. It's about making healthy choices that are rooted in what's good for you. And I mean, I had an experience where, you know, I'd planned this date with myself. I took myself off to an exhibition and I was a bit disappointed by the whole thing, really. It wasn't that the exhibition wasn't interesting. It was just, I kind of came away being a bit flat and feeling a bit low vibes. And I was waiting for the bus on the way back and I was like, you know, it just wasn't good enough. But I should be feeling happy because I've done this amazing thing for myself and it was my first day really in ages that I'd made this time for myself, and so I'd put all this pressure on it to be perfect and it to be great and loving. And you know, when I was disappointed, I kind of wanted to stop myself from feeling that disappointment because, you know, I should be happy. What I realized is that I just needed to let myself sulk, and that was the most loving thing that I could have done, is just let myself sulk. And that follows on to the next lesson, really, and it's what you resist persists. When you allow and surrender to the feelings that are coming up for you, whether they're positive or negative, but particularly when they're negative, you get this sense of freedom. And it's often when you do allow yourself to feel what you're feeling, the feelings tend to change and subside much quicker anyway. So we think that by stopping ourselves from feeling something that we make it go away, but actually it makes it persist even more. And that's when you can get yourself in a bit of a funk. So the best thing to do sometimes is just let yourself have a sulk or give yourself permission to feel frustrated or feel that anger, whatever it is that's coming up for you, just let yourself feel it. And then also you can learn from the resistance. So following on to the next lesson, resistance is actually quite a juicy thing. It's an insight and it's almost an invitation to the deeper work that you can be doing. So I found the frustration that I was feeling, I actually started journaling about it, and journaling became an essential tool for me in this whole process and documenting my feelings and my shifts. And when I started journaling about the frustration and almost looking at it as kind of what can I learn from this experience rather than trying to shut it out, I learned a whole lot about underlying emotions that were also present that were, you know, being triggered by something, you know, probably quite menial, but actually it was an indication of something much bigger that was lying underneath the surface. So there's lots of insights and learnings that you can actually draw from that icky, shitty stuff.
And also, it's
it's all about self-acceptance, which is like, you know, such a key tenet of self-love. And so when you are feeling, allowing yourself to feel those feelings and you're digging into the resistance, that all of that in itself is such an act of self-love. But it's, and that's why there's the, you know, doing it for 28 days was such a, I think, such a deep and enriching experience. And actually not in a, in a way that I wasn't expecting. I don't know if you were, but I wasn't thinking there would be so much of all this gunk coming
so
to
easy.
Us. Because now we're like, I'm in a really shitty mood too. Oh my God. And then we realised actually we weren't the only ones, but it was so important for this stuff to come up. So one of the things that I found really valuable in all of this was really catching my ego out. When I was going through all that sort of gunky stuff, what I realised as I kind of went into it, like he says, getting into the resistance and sort of dug around, is that my ego had turned 28 days of love into a competition. So suddenly, well, it started off being really lovely. Suddenly I found myself going through the motions, doing all these, you know, doing the same lovely things for myself that I had been doing a few days previously and had been enjoying it. But now it was like I was just going through the motions, and rather than feeling all kind of happy and loved and enjoying the experience, I was just feeling like it was just never good enough. And I noticed that I started comparing myself, looking at what other people had done, and what I had done wasn't good enough, and feeling this constant sense of lack and disappointment in myself, and just the whole not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. And then I realised, like, my God, my ego has completely hijacked this whole fucking experience and turned it into a competition. It's ruining it for me. And so what I remember what I did in that moment, I was just like, right, that's it. And I just went... The night where I'd planned, I didn't know, doing my nails or do some kind of pampering. I was like, do you know what? Sod all of this. I'm going to watch a film. I'm going to, like, doodle in my book. And I'm just going to forget the whole thing. And actually, of course, that was in itself a great act of self-love. Yeah. So love is always going to win. But it's really important to just notice where your ego, where your shitty committee is up to its little tricks. And it was actually a really good lesson in noticing the ways I was doing quite negative self-talk that perhaps I hadn't been realising. And so this whole process of doing this daily act of love really helped to bring that to the surface. So, yeah, that cheeky little ego will get up to its tricks when it comes to you trying to bring anything actually new and positive into your life.
Yeah.
Your ego, your shitty committee will always try and jump on board and take over. So watch it.
Yeah, I also had that comparison thing as well. I remember I was texting you and telling you about it because one morning I'd just woken up and I was like, I just feel like a bit of a self-love failure. I just keep doing the same thing day in, day out. And, you know, my acts of love aren't creative enough. They're not good enough. And we were speaking to a friend of ours and she was coming up with all these amazing ideas. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so exciting. And then I went home like, mine aren't as good. And, you know, that inner child comes out, that kind of stomping foot and, like, getting a bit of a mood about it. So then the next morning I was like, okay, I'm just going to write down all the things that I actually have done. And I filled a whole page in my notebook of things that I'd done all week, but some of the things were repetitive, but that's okay. That's the whole point. It's about building up a healthy habit of doing these things for yourself. And I found journaling and meditation was like the bedrock for me. That was like at the core, but I almost didn't count them if I'd done the same thing again, like in a number of days, because, you know, I'd already done that thing. What's another creative thing that I can do? So yeah, there's definitely a lot of that going on. And a key lesson that came off the back of that is also respecting your choices. So looking at the things that are really important to you and not comparing yourself to other people, because, you know, we all have our own ways of doing things and our own ways to connect with ourselves. And journaling and meditation are great things for me to do to connect with myself. And give me that sense of calm, especially before the day begins in the mornings. That's when I love doing it. So it was really learning to respect that is a really, really loving thing for me to be doing. It's a loving practice. And not feeling like I'm coming up short by comparing myself to others. And we really loved an example from a lady called Rachel who did various different acts of love and shared them on Instagram. But one of them, she'd shared one of her trampolining, and the caption had said that she'd asked her inner child what she wanted to do that day, and it was trampolining.
Oh, I love it.
And that's what it's all about. It's looking at what's important to you and what does your soul need today and what is going to nourish you, and then doing that, not looking at what other people are doing. It doesn't matter. Just do what's important to you.
Which actually brings me to my next lesson, which was all sorts of uncool stuff can be an act of love. Anything from an Ocado order to tidying your living room. And I got caught up in that whole thing of like, oh, it needs to look good, it needs to look cool, particularly as we're leading 28 Days of Love. So we really, you know, our ego's like, you really need to be looking good at this. And actually, when I let go and I just went, oh, fuck, you know, sod it. Just do what the hell you want. If it's going to be repetitive, you know, I found that journaling meditation was a great one for me as well, but I resisted doing it because, well, that was Vicky's thing. Because she was doing it, so no, I had to find something different. And actually, I really got into the groove. It's when I really stopped caring what anyone else thought or what my ego thought of what I was doing. And one of the best ones was doing my first ever online supermarket order. That was great. And also actually tidying my living room in the evening before, but you know, after the baby had gone to bed and my you know, living room's a bomb site, actually taking 5 or 10 minutes is clear it up, light a little candle and have a nice harmonious space to be in. And why not? That was my act of love. And actually another act of love was asking for help. So, you know, it doesn't have to be dazzling yourself every night with a romantic gesture.
Yeah.
It can be the stuff like, you know, helping you to make life a little bit easier. So let's start off with some of the most common ones. So obviously there was a lot of flowers bought for people, bought for themselves, hot bubble baths in the evenings, which actually I think is a really good one. And one that, because so many of us were rushing around all day, but actually just taking the time to run that bath, maybe light a few candles, put in some nice bubble bath, and you kind of sink into it. It's like,
I've been having loads more bubble baths since 28 days, actually. Just like sometimes before work as well. Such a nice indulgence.
Before work? Yeah. That put me in the mood for work.
So I think it was last week, I listened to Blinklist. I listened to an audio in the bath. And then I went off to work, but I have been getting up earlier to fit those things in. But I felt so like, I got a bit of stride in my
how
step.
How luxurious to start your day. I love it. I didn't even thought of doing it at the start of the day. That was brilliant. And we had some big, amazing ones, like a hot air balloon
date with yourself. That was unbelievable.
In Red Rock, I think, which is incredible.
Yeah.
My favourite one has got to be, the trampolining one you talked about with Rachel. That was just great. I loved that.
Just seeing the faces as well. I think she'd gone with a friend of hers. So excited. It made me really want to go.
It was great. I did some colouring in. I got a colouring in book. And did, you know, like colouring in as a kid. Yeah, that was brilliant. That's just one of mine I'm giving you. And there are a few people taking naps as well, which I just think the sleep, the early night with a book.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't beat that, just snuggling into a duvet.
It was the reading the book in daylight in bed as well that I loved. I think one person had said, I'm in bed reading a book and it's in the afternoon.
I know, and it's these little things that kind of feel rebellious because you really shouldn't. But it's just like, and it just feels so deliciously kind of, luxurious, rebellious, however you want to call it.
And I was inspired by someone making happy playlists because I've had Spotify on my phone for ages but just hadn't really given it a bit of love and updated my playlist. And I started making playlists the last 3 weeks and honestly it's really amped up my journey to work and journey home. And I'm now at work like preparing new little playlists that I can listen to on the way home and it just makes that commute, which is usually just really challenging, especially on a crowded tube in London. It just makes it more fun and I just feel like I feel quite smug actually on this crowded tube with these wicked tunes playing in my ears.
It's finding little things to do in, you know, the regular beat and rhythm of your day. You can like suddenly put in these little things, kind of brighten up, add colour, bring creativity into a part of your day which normally would be a bit flat. I remember when I was commuting every day and I started to turn that commute into my creative part of the day. So I did these always trying to take creative photos on the tube, and suddenly what was a really dull, flat, annoying part of my day became something I looked forward to because I decided to kind of use it as a kind of creative act.
Yeah,
a few other things. I loved seeing people buying themselves like lingerie just for them. That was a great one. And I also really loved Rachel writing love letters for other people, but also for herself. Letters to tell people that she loved them, which I just thought was brilliant, really gorgeous. And lots more like that.
So there's a whole range of things, really, whether it was pampering, you know, the traditional stuff, to the creative stuff, to the body love stuff, whether it was connecting to your body through yoga or taking yourself out on that morning run, dancing. And then just everything in between, really. There was such a huge variety. It actually taught me about how differently you can just look at ways of loving yourself, how they can be so different, really.
Yeah, and I think that it's what's great to see as well is actually it doesn't take much to inject a little bit of self-love into your day. You can do something with 1 minute.
Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, for me, one day it was having a cup of tea or a matcha, actually, making myself a matcha latte and actually just sitting for a moment with my hands around the warm mug and close my eyes, probably for about 5 seconds. It wasn't even a minute. And just that moment of stillness was really enriching for my day and did feel really special.
Yeah.
And it reminded me it doesn't actually take much. So the next lesson is about how it's not what you do that's as important as the feeling and the intention of love behind it. So we could have done all sorts of acts of love. And in fact, we did sometimes do acts of love, which felt like we were just going through the motions because there wasn't an intention of love behind it. When my ego hijacked the whole thing and turned it into a competition, my intention was no longer about giving myself love. My intention was about doing something that looked good to other people.
Something I could post on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Something that would look really visually appealing. Like a post about, post on Instagram and look like I was fabulously loving myself while secretly self-loathing myself. It's really important. So that way, you know, likewise, when I did an Ocado order, it wasn't much Instagram of that. Said it wasn't really good Instagram. But it felt really good because I was, you know, I enjoyed it. I was allowing myself to do something that perhaps seemed a bit uncool. It was real. I got so much delight from it. So it's really important that it is about the intention behind it. And if you were going through the motions and not feeling it, going, okay, hang on. Is this coming from a place of love? Or is this coming from a place of, I need to look good? It's a competition. It needs to be interesting, creative. It needs to be enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Always really important to see that you're not just going through the motions, but you actually are doing this from a place of love. My next lesson was that falling off the self-love wagon is fine and it's natural. It's all about learning to get back on it. So, you know, it's not about, like we were saying before, self-love isn't about being happy 24/7, always positive, always happy. That's like asking you to be, you know, rainbow, just to be one colour. We've got to accept that we are everything. We're going to go through all the different kind of range of emotions. And that's what self-love is about, is to accept that. And that sometimes you will just stop doing the self-love practice. And you'll realise it's been, you know, quite a while and actually you started getting some bad habits of not loving yourself and being too harsh on yourself and being too much of a perfectionist and being too critical and not looking after your own self-care. And when that happens, it's not to then use that as a stick to beat yourself with. It just means, right, okay, you've noticed you've kind of got out of the habit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you get back into the habit? And that's why something like 28 Days of Love, you can do it any time, is so powerful, just giving yourself those 28 days. So just do one little thing each day to bring self-love back into your life. So it's just to remember that you can pick it back up at any point. Doesn't matter how long it's been since you've not really been practicing it. It's always there and it's really simple to start doing it again.
And the final lesson really is the importance of self-love as a foundation, really a healthy foundation to build on. whether it's wanting to improve your relationships, wanting to be happier at work, wanting to just be happier in general. We've seen the impact that these small acts of love done consecutively over a certain amount of time, the effect that that has had. We've had people write into us saying friends have noticed the difference in them and how much brighter that they looked, and their perspective have changed and they looked happier, and people feeling more fulfilled at work and able to express themselves at work and ask for things that they thought they couldn't, like a pay rise. We had a woman write into us saying, I stood up for myself at work and it was amazing. She felt so empowered by it. And that's what it really does. Like these small acts, they feel like, oh yeah, you know, a nice little moment. But actually, it's much bigger than that. And it's like a snowball, really. Mm. Small things building and building and building until it's, you know, one big kind of shift that you see. And sometimes it's not noticeable in yourself. Sometimes it takes friends to really point it out and say, oh, you seem a bit different, you know. And I noticed that as well. Like I started to look at things maybe a bit differently and started to kind of shift my perspective, be a bit more open to things. And I definitely felt that self-acceptance within me. And also, you know, as you're going through that process yourself, you're then seeing those things in other people as well. It kind of opens you up to compassion and empathy and all those other things that come from that place of love. So really realize the importance of that and how it can impact positively in so many other areas of your life.
So if you didn't get to do 28 Days of Love this time, then don't worry, we will be doing it again some point in the future, but you can also do it at any time at all. All it takes is write a list of 28 things, little things that you'd like to do for yourself. And over the 28 days, choose one of those things each day, or make something up on the spot, or rebel like I did one day and just slouch in front of the TV and do a colouring in book.
Or sulk in the bath like me.
Exactly. And just see what comes up for you. Because what I found was that as much of just doing those lovely daily acts of love were enjoyable in themselves, like Vicky was saying, it really does build up and really does start to impact on other areas of your life. And for me, it was a bit like a love detox or retox. Is that even a thing?
Yeah.
Retox yourself with love. So give it a go. It really is more powerful than you might think.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.